And there's a lot of good-looking people in this church up there on that screen, I saw. Beautiful families, amen. I think some of the best-looking people in Washington County go to church here. Amen, I do. I'm a little prejudiced, of course, but I do believe that. Amen. You know what? There's a lot of ministry going on around here, too. And if you are walking with the Lord, you're doing everything that you know to do and everything you know how, but it just still feels like something's missing a little bit, please use some of these opportunities. Get in some of these prayer meetings, some of these Bible studies. We've got some ladies' ministry going on, men's ministry going on here. You know, Jesus talked about one place about the kingdom of God being like a banquet that a king had spread out, and he sent his servants out to ask everyone to come to the banquet, and it says, and they started making excuses and reasons. And you know, sometimes I think we're that way as Christians. We have so many opportunities to have our life blessed and strengthened and changed, and yet we still just kind of go spiritually hungry at times, and we don't take advantage of what's going on. So if you haven't tried our women's ministry yet, it meets once a month. Meeting tonight? Yep, they're meeting tonight. I think the men's ministry is meeting tonight. Just say, man, I'm going to do something different this time. I'm going to see if my life just can't get lit a little more plugged in and a little bit changed. And, you know, I don't know about you. I'm fortunate enough I get to meet with the worship team on Thursday evenings just about every week. And we have a fellowship. We call it a kind of a small group, life group time where we get to share a little bit. We're not just a group of musicians. We're a family. You know, we share what's going on in our lives. We pray with each other and that sort of thing. And I love that. And it helps me get through the week. By about Thursday, I'm needing a little encouragement. I'm needing a little fellowship with the brethren. We have Bible study on Wednesday night. Man, what a help that is. This world will suck the life of God right out of you if you don't take advantage of the opportunities that you have to just get filled up with Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, I just encourage you to try something new. Well, it's good to be back. I haven't preached for a couple weeks, and I see I didn't scare too many people off. It looks pretty good this morning. I want to thank Pastor Bill for an awesome message and moving of the Lord here last week, and people's lives were being touched in the altar service and through the message, and there was over 500 and some people looked at it on Facebook within about the second day that we posted it. I love the power of that tech crew that we have back there and all that you do to help us spread the gospel. Amen. Amen. Well, I better get to it because I know you'd be hungry before I get done. If you get finished before I do, just be kind, leave quietly, all right? Leave the rest of us alone. But now I'll try to get done on time here this morning. Would you stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word? If you have your Bibles and want to turn there with me, it'll be up on the screens too. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, I want to look at verses 9 through 11. This is the message I didn't get to preach 3 weeks ago. I knew there'd be time and opportunity, and so did the Lord. I don't mind backing up and just letting God do it all. Amen? He will. He will do it if you let Him. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let God be God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 9 says, this is Moses is speaking here. He said, I spoke to you at that time saying, I'm not able to bear the burden of you alone. The Lord your God has multiplied you. And behold, you are this day like the stars of heaven in number. How many of you know he was kind of evangelistically speaking here, that they really weren't quite that many of them? But you know, if you love the Lord and you love the Lord's people, you get excited when more and more people come to Christ, when more and more people get to know him as Savior and Lord, and you know they're born into the kingdom. They pass from darkness to light and from death unto life, man. If that doesn't excite your soul, there's something wrong with what's going on between you and God. Amen? And, you know, he got a little excited. He said, you are like the stars of heaven in number. And they were in his heart and in his eyes. He said, may the Lord God of your fathers increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised. You might want to turn my singing mic off here. It's ringing a little bit. May the Lord God of your fathers increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised. I want to talk to you this morning about added growth. That's what Moses is talking about here. He's talking about how Israel has grown through their journey through the desert. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to break bread before the table of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, for it is bread and life and meat to our souls and to our lives. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the manna sent down from heaven, that if a man eat thereof, he shall never die. And we come to sit before you and before your Holy Spirit this morning, Father, to ask that he be our teacher and our guide according to the promises of your word, to pray that this work that you've begun in each and every one of us would just continue this morning, Lord, that we would be transformed, renewed, changed forever by the power of your word. And Father, I ask that you would help me to be anointed of your Spirit, to speak your word with spirit and with life, not just in the letter that would kill, not just in religion and legalism, God, that would drive people further from you, but God, as it is, life and bread and manna, that God would just bring our souls to life in you this morning. Father, I love you, and I thank you for being a part of your kingdom and your church. I love this church, Father, and I thank you for every person that you've added to it. I thank you, God, for the things, the small things and the great things that we're able to do together as the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the head and allowing us to be a part of your body, Lord God. And Father, I pray today, just help us to be changed, to be more powerful, to be more effective. God, to fulfill our individual destiny and purpose in your kingdom, and to fulfill your destiny and purpose for us as a church family, corporately, is my prayer. God, write your word on the tables of our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name this morning. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Israel had literally grown and multiplied in number since they had left Egypt. Now, most of it had happened through procreation, but there are also others, heathens, that had joined themselves to the nation of Israel, and they had come out of Egypt 600,000 plus. There were 600,000 men plus women and children. A whole generation of them had died because they had rebelled against God and his purpose and his plan in the wilderness. And yet still, as Moses looked out across this crowd 40 years later, he said, they have been multiplied and they are like the stars of heaven in number. I want to share with you this morning that this is God's perfect will for every one of our lives, and in particular for every one of our churches. How many of you know there only is one church? I know we put all kind of labels on the doors and our bulletins and, you know, everything else that we do, but there is only one church. There's one church of Jesus Christ, and you're either in it or you're out of it. You know, I know there's a lot of churches, because of the labels they have, would like to think that they are the only ones, that they are the exclusive ones. But I want to tell you something. Every person that has repented of their sins, that has confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that has asked his forgiveness, asked him to come into their heart and lives, and then pledged that by God's grace and mercy and strength and will, that they will obey every part of the gospel that they know, they are born again, washed in the blood. They are on their way to heaven. I don't care what name is hanging over the door or what they call themselves, if they are truly followers of Jesus Christ. I love to read the Old Testament, because every promise that God made to Abraham, he made to Moses, he made to Noah, he made to Daniel, he made to David, he made to every child of God that loved him and served him, every one of those promises apply to you and I. You know, God told Abraham, he said, those that bless you, I will bless, and those that curse you, I will curse. And because of that today, at least now in our nation, we want to protect the nation of Israel, national Israel, as it exists today in its homeland, in Jerusalem. We want to protect that. But you know what? Those promises apply to you and I. Paul over in Romans tells us that you and I, who have been born of the bloodline of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, of the lineage of David, we are the true Israel of God. Those promises that if you bless us, God will bless you. If you curse us, God will curse you. They apply to you and I today. Man, you need to realize, like that prophecy said earlier, I think most people don't realize, they don't have a clue how deeply and how powerfully and how wonderfully our God loves us and cares about us. And all these promises that are yes and amen. And one of the promises is this, that the Lord your God would multiply you this day like the stars of heaven. You know, he's not talking about stars, he's talking about people. He's talking about the people that you love. He's talking about the people that I love. You know, it's God's will that your children would be saved. It's God's will that your grandchildren would know God. It's God's will that your nieces and your nephews would know God. That your aunts and your uncles and your grandparents, and in some cases, some of you, your spouses, it's God's will that God's kingdom would be multiplied like the stars of heaven. That is God's will, that God's church would grow so great that like the stars that can't be numbered truly in the heavens, there would be that many people in the kingdom of God. That is God's will for your life and for my life. Now we know Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it." But God's heart is, God so loved the world that whosoever would, anybody, would call upon the name of the Lord and believe in him. I was in the hospital this week for some tests. I talked to a young lady. We got to talking about religion, actually. She said, "I am going to school right now and I'm studying all the religions." She says, "But I don't know about that Jesus." She said, I'm really hung up on that thing about Jesus being God and God's son. She said, "I think he was a prophet and a great man and all this other stuff." She said, "But I think he was just," she said, "I think there's goodness and light in all of us." I was laying on a bed with IV in my arm, but you know what that did to me. She looked to be every bit of 19 or 20, and I said, "Honey," I said, "you know what?" I said, "I hope you're right." I said, "Because you're betting eternity on what you just said to me." She says, I started reading the Bible. I told her, "You need to read the Bible." She said, "Oh, I started reading the Bible." She says, "I've read all the way through to Kings." I said, "But man, she said, "I don't know." She said, "I got that far, and I just got hung up." And I said, "Oh, you need to read the New Testament." I said, "I made a mistake like you. I thought it was like any other book, and you just opened it up at the front and went." But I said, "It's not." I said, "It's a living book." And I said, "Jesus is not just another prophet. He's not just another good man." I said, "By the way," I said, "all those religions you're studying, you need to look at all their books too." Because I said, they're just twisted copies of this book. She said, "You need to start in Matthew, and you need to start reading." And she said, "In Matthew, okay." And then she said something else about Jesus not being God. And I said, "Well," I said, "there's a big problem there." But I said, "You need to read the Bible," because the other people were coming in the room. She ran out of the room. But, you know, you can't run from the Holy Spirit. I sowed every seed I could in her. They were giving me anesthesia, and I was about to fade out. But I thought, "I'm going to get everything in I can get in until I'm gone here." Amen. And church, the reason I say that, she was such a beautiful, precious young lady. Just like so many of our sons and our daughters and our neighbors and the people that we work with. And if she doesn't find out and believe on the Son of God, John said in 1 John, "He that hath not the Son hath not life." I didn't get to tell her because she got away too quick, but I wanted to say to her, you need to find out the reason they killed Jesus. Do you know why they killed Jesus? There was only one reason why they killed Jesus. It was the reason she was having trouble with. Because he said he was God. Lord, will give me another chance probably one of these days. He'll give somebody a chance in her life. But see, the thing is, every human being is either going to heaven or they're going to hell. And they're going to spend eternity there forever. I've been praying for all the people suffering all these cataclysmic things that are going on with the storms. I've been praying, God, don't let the lost die without you. Don't let the lost die without you. If one more chance, one more word, one more opportunity will draw them to you, don't let them leave this world without you. Because ultimately, church, that's what it's going to come down to for all of us. That's the only thing that's going to matter at the end of any of our lives. One is, are we saved? Do we know Christ? Are we really living and walking in the kingdom? And then secondly, how many other people have we helped to find God? The ones we love that are close to us and the ones that we just kind of casually share life with. And see, God's will is that we would get every person saved that we possibly can. Not this young lady, somebody else earlier in the week, they asked me, they said, you know, if God's real, why does he leave all this stuff going on like it is, this mess in the world? I said, because he loves you, because he loves me, and because he's waiting for the very last person that will confess him as Savior and Lord, and in the end will come. Say, oh, but there's terrible things going on. They are, but they're not as bad as eternity will be without God. And so sometimes God even allows these things to try to humble people and get them to God. God wants to save every one of our loved ones. He wants to use us, and he wants to use other people to do it. But I said all that to say this. Can I also tell you this is God's perfect will for every church? Did you know that God wants every church to grow to the number is like the stars of the heavens? Now, there's a few people across the country and around the world who have grown some big churches, and half of the church hates them for it. I said half of the church hates them for it. That's right, jealous. Most of it's just out and out jealousy. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you're going to affect somebody's life. And there's going to be a reward in your own. The little book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, there's a place where God says that God has a book of remembrance wherein are written the names of the people who even thought on the name of God. Doesn't necessarily say they're saved. It's not the book of life. But that's how much God cares about every lost individual. He wants them to be saved, and he wants every church to grow. Earlier in the week, before my appointment at the hospital, I had another appointment with a lady. I had to go, and you know, you have these pre-surgery things, and went in and sat down, and we somehow in our conversation got to talking about, she said, I'm looking for a church. I said, well, let me invite you to our church. And I whipped out a card, and I handed it to her. I think she asked me what I did for a living. You know, she was going through this list of questions. I said, well, I'm a minister. She said, oh, I'm looking for a church. I handed her a card. She says, you know, she says, I like them little churches, only about 15, 20 people. I said, that's not our church. She said, well, what I really like, she said, you know them old hymns that, you know, that the churches used to sing? She says, I love them things. I said, that's not our church either. She says, oh, I just love these little churches, she said, that, you know, that have those type of services. And I looked at her for a minute, and this is what I said to her. I said, you know what? I know you think you know what you're saying when you just said that to me. I said, I'm going to tell you why our church is not that church. I said, when you talk about this small church, I said, you're talking about you want to know people and you want to know them real close and intimately. And I said, and you want a church where, you know the pastor and everything else. I said, but you know what you're really saying? She said, no, what am I saying? I said, you're saying as long as I can find a church with 15, 20 people in it, the rest of the world can go to hell. She sat back in her chair and her eyes got about that big around. I thought I had a problem for a minute, and then she chuckled. She said, you know, she says, I never thought about it that way. See, I'd already been working on this message 3 weeks ago. God had me primed and pumped for all this. It breaks my heart that there's not 10 churches running 2,000 people in Washington County, because I guarantee you there's enough sinners to fill them. There's enough lost people. I've been a pastor in this area for 31 years. I've known down through years pastors who be absolutely have a fit and won't talk to other pastors because somebody 1, 2, 3, 5 left their church and went over to another church. Like there ain't enough lost people to go around for all of us. You know what I'm saying? It breaks my heart that there aren't that many churches. But you know, a lot of the reason is exactly what that lady said to me. So many people, well, I don't know if you know this or not. It isn't just this area. So many people want a little church where they do everything exactly the way I like it. Did you know the average size church across America is 75 to 100 people? That's the average. These mega churches that you see on TV, they're in metropolitan areas. That's only 2% of Christianity in the United States. All the rest of it is 75 people or less. And I don't even know what all the rest of it is, because I know there's churches on every corner that have 5 people and 10 people and 12 people. I love all my family down in Tennessee, but you can go in Tennessee into little ridges, we call them. Little ridges, hollers. I heard somebody say hollers. You can go down there. There won't be 50 people in town, and there'll be 6 churches. Because this little church over here has got people that don't even like the people over in this little church here who didn't like the people in this little church here, so they went and started another little church here. And you know what? It's not only in Tennessee. Drive through Hagerstown, drive through Boonesboro, drive through Clear Spring. What do you think would happen if instead of this little church and that little church and the other little church and this little church and that little church, instead of all of them just going and doing their own thing and everybody goes, oh, they just do everything the way I like it. What if we really, all of us, got together, used the resources that we had, and really touched Hagerstown? That's why I want to talk to you about added growth. Moses figured something out about Israel being like the stars of heaven. Did you notice the first line I read in this portion of Scripture? Moses figured out how to make things grow in the kingdom of God. This is what he said. I spoke to you at that time saying, I'm not able to bear the burden of you alone. Moses figured out that church had to be more than 1 or 2 people who become preachers or leaders and stand up and just get up and preach to people. There's a lot more to it than that. And he realized there was a lot more to reaching people that are lost than just getting up and preaching the Bible. Oh, it is the Word of God. It saves souls. But if that's all you do, then probably all you're going to need is a little church on this corner. And somebody else will have a little church on this corner. And somebody else will have a little church on this corner. And somebody else will have a little church on this corner. We'll all sing and be happy while the rest of the world around us dies and goes to hell. But thank God we have our little church where, well, you know, the carpet's the color we want. The curtains are the color. They do the kind of music I want. They teach the way I want it. It's as long as I want it or as short as I want it. It's as soft as I like it or as loud as I like it. It's all about me, 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 me. We're supposed to be delivered of that spirit, right? It's supposed to be all about the lost people around us. In Acts 2:46, it says, day by day, is speaking of the church, the early church, the first congregation, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number, the New American Standard says, day by day, those who were being saved. Some of your versions say daily. God was leading people to the church. People were getting saved on a daily basis. Do you know some of these little churches only have 5, 10, 15, 20 people have not seen anybody saved in 20 years? Some of them haven't seen a visitor in 30. Nobody except the people that shows up there. A lot of them die of old age. You know why? Because they can't find people that like everything exactly like they like it. And so they all just hang there together till the last one that's gone turns the light out and it's over with. Yeah. God wants to add to the church daily such as should be saved. You know why? Because you got sons and daughters that aren't saved. You got relatives in your family that don't know Christ. And every day, every moment, every hour, the sand in the hourglass just keeps ticking by and keeps ticking by and keeps ticking by. And nobody has any guarantee of today or tomorrow or this afternoon or the next day. We have got to reach lost people. Well, that's what it says in Acts 4, but I like what it says in Acts 6:1. It says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, God wants you and he wants me and he wants us as a church. He wants us to get to the place to where we're adding people to the kingdom of God daily. And we're adding people to the church. But then he wants us to keep growing and he wants us to keep changing until it starts multiplying. Now Matt, my usual worship leader, they're moving this weekend. They sold a house, bought a house. They're moving. I wish he was here because I need a numbers guy. Adding's a good thing. If you think it isn't, just look at your bank account when things are adding. Things are being added to it, you know. Every once in a while, we all get surprised with a mess up that we made that's actually adding to instead of taking away from sometimes. That's a wondrous thing. The other thing, not so wondrous, but that is wondrous. But you know what's even better than adding to the church? Multiplying. Let me show you what adding will do. If every person in this room this morning, about 200 plus so of you, would make it your mission in life this week to get one more person to come to church. And those of you that are scared to talk to lost people, call up some of the church people that aren't here this morning. If you're scared to death of lost people, call Christian and say, hey, we missed you. But if every person would just do their best one week to bring one extra person next week, guess how many people would probably be here? Just about 400, 500 people in one week. Now, what if we multiplied that to next week? Multiplied it. Say by two. You get the idea? The early church got people saved on a daily basis, but they didn't stop there. It got to the point to where they were multiplying people. They were coming in droves of people. Moses said, I would God would bless you and multiply you until the number of you were like the stars of heaven. I've told people for years, I never did get that. I didn't get that. When I got saved in the church, at its time was about 150. It grew to about 300. And even back then, there were people saying, man, I don't like this. This is too big. I said to people way back then, I said, what do you mean too big? It's too big. There's no more room for lost people. The world is going to hell and you're saying it's too big? How can you do that? I couldn't even wrap my head around. I've never been able to wrap my head around that idea. That a church could be too big. Really? Now, I will say this. If you're just playing church and you got it filled with people, yeah, it's too big. In fact, probably after one or two, it was too big. Because it wasn't fulfilling God's purpose. And it's possible to do that. Jim Jones led 900 people. He had a congregation, 900 people, led them out in the jungle and fed them poison Kool-Aid. And we as Christians will sit around churches of 5 and 10 people and say, well, that's all we can do. That's the only amount of people we can reach. That's the only amount of people we want to reach because we really like it. We all pray for each other. We all sing songs we like, you know, over and over again. Do you realize how often that goes on every Sunday all across this nation? God wants us to reach the lost. He wants the church to be added to, but he wants it to multiply in number. Oh, man. I want to say this to you. Every church should always be growing in numbers as well as in health and vitality. Did you know that a church that is not growing is dying? The church is a living organism. If it isn't growing, it's dying. There is an idea in church circles today that if you're really spiritual, you're not going to grow numerically. And if you're growing numerically, It's because you're not very spiritual. It's kind of like when we ride down the road and we see the big house and they got the big cars and they got the swimming pool and everything's going, and we say, they're selling drugs. They got to be selling drugs. Isn't that what we do? They got to be stealing it from somebody. They might not be. They might be one of the most righteous people in your neighborhood, but our first thought is, man, if they got all that, they got to be doing something wrong. That's okay. That's human nature. But think about this. We do that with churches. Well, if they've got 800 people or 900 people, that's because they ain't preaching the gospel. They don't say God like we do. They don't do all this. Can I tell you that? Not only is it ridiculous, it's unbiblical. It's unbiblical. This past summer when I went on vacation, I went into a church and there was 800 or 900 people there. And I got to confess before you and God, one of my former youth pastors is a pastor on staff there now in Georgia. I went in this building, it's about three times the size of this, about three times as high, and I mean they got the lights going and the music's blaring and, you know, and everything's going on. There's smoke all over the stage and stuff. I walked in the hallway. I could hear the music so loud. This is my confession. I wanted to hate it, Teresa. I did. I wanted to not like it. I thought, walking in the hallway, I thought, I ain't liking this. This is probably going to be some big rock show. And it was. I said, this is probably just going to be lights and mirrors and smoke. I went in there wanting to hate it. They took me in as a guest, set me down on the second row, right in front of all of it. Wasn't really where I wanted to be. I wanted to get back where I could watch it all. Because I wanted to hate it. I really did. And then all these people started flooding in. Coming from everywhere. And they started that music. And it was a lot like the music we did, only better. And no offense to the rest of the team. Maybe it's me. I don't know. But it was good. It was really good. And they started, but they started worshiping God. And they started singing. And the next thing I know, the Spirit of the Lord started moving. I still wanted to hate it. I said, well, this is okay, but I'll bet they ain't preaching the word here. And I look around, there's 800-900 people in there. Pastor gets up. He got leather pants on. I just rode a Harley 2,000 miles, and he looked like he rode it further. I said, oh, boy. This is going to be something. He starts preaching, and I kid you not, God is my witness. In almost 40 years of Christianity, it was absolutely the best, most powerful message that I have ever heard in my life. And I wanted to hate it. I thought, oh my goodness. And then they had a baptism service at the end of the service, and they had 9 people lined up and ready to be baptized. They start baptizing people. People start crying. I lost at 30-some. I lost count at 30-some people that came up and got in that baptism tank and professed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I didn't hear it real loud, but if I could have heard, I'd have heard God say, sit down, shut up, Kenny. Sit down and shut up. Now, see, the reason I wanted to hate it was because I've been in churches like that that had that many numbers. Nothing was going on in God. But this was. It really was. I told my former youth pastor at the end, he said, Pastor Ken, he says, I was scared to death for you to come. What you would think? He said, what do you think? I said, Zeb, I wanted to hate it. I said, but it was one of the most powerful things I've ever been in. Thank you for inviting me and letting me come here. Teach this old preacher something. See, it isn't just about the means or how we do it. It's what's in the heart of it. God will use anything that is clean and pure. God will use if you bring it before Him. I don't care if it's smokes and mirrors or whatever. He will use it to touch people's hearts and lives. Now, here's what I want you to understand. God so wants to bless and bring people into the church. And the very calling of Jesus Christ is to make disciples. I want to tell you how the church is supposed to work. And this is why to say, well, you know, the wrong idea that, you know, if you're growing numerically, you're not spiritual. And if you're spiritual, you're not going to grow numerically. Tell Peter that on the day of Pentecost, who stood up and preached one message and had a mega church immediately following. How'd you like to get up? We're going to start a church here in our little corner store. And at the end of the service, you've got 3,000 congregants. That's what they had. But see, here's why little churches are not God's plan. And I'm out of time this morning. We're just going to do one song, and then I'm going to let you go eat and watch football and hopefully reach some lost people around you while you're doing it. You can do it during those times. Listen to me. This is the plan that Jesus gave us. He came to seek and save that which was lost. That was his mission. He said, if you're going to be a follower of me, that's your mission. Everybody says, I don't know what God's called me to do. I can tell you what he's called you to do. Seek and save that which is lost. Now, there's all kinds of different ways to do it, and we'll talk about that eventually, Lord willing. But he's called every one of us to start reaching the people around us. Say, well, how do I do that? Just tell them what you know. Well, I don't know everything about the Bible. You don't have to. Just tell them what you know. After a while, they'll start asking you. Everywhere I go, people ask me stuff. And most of the time, I don't tell them I'm a minister because everybody thinks a minister is supposed to be Christian. You know what I'm saying? I don't want them to think that. I want them to know that every child of God cares about them and cares about their hearts. We're supposed to seek and save that which is lost, but we're not supposed to stop there. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them, get them saved. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He said, then I want you to teach them everything that I've commanded you. Well, guess what everything is that God commanded us? He wants us to teach those who become believers how to go back out into the world and reach other lost people and bring them in and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to observe everything that Jesus taught us, which is to do what? To teach the people that they bring in how to go back out into the world, reach lost people, bring them in, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son. Where do you see church growth not happening in all that? Where do you see that me and my four and no more and the rest of the world can go to hell? In the direct command of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you are a disciple. You know what disciples do? They make other disciples. They teach and they train and they equip. And see, then those disciples go back out into the world. They preach the gospel to every creature. They baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They teach them to observe and do everything Jesus had taught them, which is to lead others to Christ, make them into disciples who will in turn go into all the world. You get it? You get it? If you short-circuit that anywhere, if all you do is bring people in and you never send anybody out, there's no use to bring them in. And if all you do is send people out and you never bring any in, there's no use to do that either. You're not fulfilling the calling of God. Now, I want to tell you something. There are very spiritual pastors in churches that don't know what the calling of God is, and they aren't doing that. I know some very spiritual people who can't grow a church because they don't understand the calling. I know very spiritual churches who can't grow a church because they don't understand the calling. And I'm going to have to end with this today because I'm out of time. But the next time I preach to you, I'm just going to say that because I never know when anymore. Next time I preach to you, today I'm talking about how to add growth. You'll add growth if you as a disciple will go out, and when God opens the door, you just share what you know of Jesus and invite people to church. Become a world-class inviter. All those hundreds of people you're talking to on Facebook, start asking them to come to church with you. Start asking them to come. Come. Would you come to church with me? Oh, Pastor Kenny, they'll probably quit talking to him. No, they might come. Start reaching lost people. If we do that, we'll add to the church. most of you already do that. You don't know how it blesses my heart to get up on a Sunday morning and see so many of you on Facebook putting those little things. We're going to be at New Life today. Please come join us. That blesses my soul for you to do that, and you bring people with you. This church has visitors every Sunday. One of the reasons I wanted to get in this area, a piece of property in this area, is because people will come to this mall from all over the tri-state area. They don't call it the hub city for nothing, and the Valley Mall isn't a hub for nothing. Man, I had a method to my madness. I was in Clear Spring one time. I'd talk to somebody in Boonesboro, Smithboro. I'd say, man, you ought to come visit our church. Where is it? Clear Spring. Oh, man, that's the other side of the moon. I ain't coming there. You know what I say to them now? I say, man, you ought to come visit our church. It don't matter if they're from Inwood or Chambersburg or wherever. They'll say, where is it? I said, right next to the Valley Mall. I don't even tell them the address. I said, right next to the Valley Mall. You know why? Because everybody in this entire area, from Winchester to Chambersburg to Harrisburg, they'll all come to this stinking mall. They got no excuse. I said, man, we're right next to the mall. We're like a mile from the mall. And see, we're adding people. We have grown since we came here in this building. But next time I talk to you, I want to talk about how to multiply things. To keep adding and keep multiplying. You know why? Because your sons and daughters are at stake. My sons and daughters are at stake. Our grandkids are at stake. Our neighbors are at stake. And time's running out. People ask me, you think the end of the world's coming? I'm like, Chicken Little, can't you see the sky's falling? The sky is falling. It's coming down, man. This thing's about to wrap up. And so am I. Worship team, will you come to the platform? Amen. I want you to stand to your feet if you want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. If you don't stand to your feet, we're going to reach you for Jesus Christ. Amen. Right here, right now. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for you and for me. That's one thing I have never been able to take for granted, not from the first moment till this, that the God of all glory and grace could love a sinner such as I and open my eyes to his word, to his love, to his care for my life. To save me so completely that he saved not only my soul, he saved my life. Man, I was near death when he saved me. But from that moment on, I've realized, as Paul said, that if one died for all, then all are dead until they find Christ. And they're without God and without hope in the world unless they know Jesus Christ. And winds are coming, storms are coming, wars are coming, and they're going to take the lives of people who are either going to spend eternity with God or eternity without God. And church, as awesome as we have been over the last few years of reaching lost people, we've reached a lot of them, not only in this building, but all around the world. I want to reach more. I'm like Moses. Moses said, you're multiplied like the stars of heaven. May God multiply you 1,000 times more than that. 1,000 times more than that. The only way I ever want to see this church, or any other church for that matter, get too big is if it gets too big that you can't squeeze another single soul in the space, right? And I hope that's your heart this morning. I'm going to pray that it is. We're going to do a song, then I'm going to have Henry dismiss us in prayer. But it's an old song. It's one I love doing, and a lot of people request it from time to time. It's called I See the Lord. And it talks about the day when all of us, and each and every one of us are, we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give account about how we've spent our lives. And one of the things that's going to matter most is how much did I care about the lost people around me? How much did I care about the work of the kingdom? How much did I care about joining arms with my church family and the army of God? How faithful was I to do my part and be a part of that army and to reach every person I can? We can't reach everybody. We're not going to reach everybody. But I want to stand before God and say, God, I reached. But more than that, God, we reached together, because we can do much more together than any one of us can do by ourselves. We reached everybody we possibly could, God, to bring them to you. Bow your heads with Pastor Henry. Let him pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we cry this day, holy, holy, holy are the Lord God Almighty. Father, thank you for visiting us today, Lord God. Father, thank you for the word that was preached here today. Thank you for the signs, wonders, and miracles today, Lord God. Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. Father, I cry out, even me, Lord, this day, Lord God. Here I am, Lord. Send me, use me, Lord God. I say it publicly because I love you, Lord. I want everybody in here to love you, Lord. Father, just touch them this week and bless them this week. Meet with them in a personal way, Lord God. Father, I speak over your people now. Father, make them the head and not the tail. Bless them as they come in and bless them as they go out, Lord God. Father, anoint them with a double portion. Bless them in all that they do, Lord. I speak divine health over every person in this room. Father, remind them this week how much you love them. Father, let us always proclaim, Lord, you are the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Father, we love you and we praise you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless.